It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 657. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Got a lot of email that we're going to get caught up on tonight. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have jam-packed show with a couple topics from came up today that I'm working on with clients and been very, very busy just sitting here as I still nursing my broken foot, doing all my work from home as best I can from my home office. Want to thank Instant House Call for sponsoring this show. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or go directly to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. The show is also brought to you by Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes has a portable all-in-one computer toolkit called the Malwarebytes Toolset to help you diagnose, remediate, repair, and secure PCs. One of the great features is the custom toolbox. Along with the great tools that are included, you can easily add your favorite tools to the menu. And now you could just have one tool on your USB stick when you're visiting clients. I even store the program with the updated tools on a private area of my website that my team, if they don't have the USB stick, they can quickly download the zip file and unzip it on the customer's machine and then run everything. So just another tip out there if you're using the Malwarebytes tool set. Want to thank them for sponsoring this show. So as I mentioned, we're going to catch up on email. But before I do that, I solved a problem for a client in New York that has two pieces of software for their donations that they take. It's not for profit. And the one piece, and they're both very expensive for monthly use for tracking the donations. They just started using this new program, but the old program, they need the history. So I was asked, can I export everything and get it into a platform or somewhere where it's just a hardened, non-editable place that they're never going to change anything, but is available for an audit. The only way to download was these small chunks of XML files, and it took forever. And I've had this for a month, this project, and I could not get anything to properly read these XML files. So it all of a sudden dawned on me, how much do they really need to have? And they ran by the accountant. I said, can we set up a way for you to just print the reports as PDFs, protect the PDFs, make them like non-readable, and then save them? And then you have them for any archive purposes, the accounting system, the people there are coming up with the reports that they need if there's any individual ones they want. So I remoted in and made sure PDF Creator is installed. So that's just a piece of software. There's lots of them out there that when you go to print, you can print as a PDF. I didn't want to go down the complication. Did they have the Microsoft PDF installed or not? Is it working? I went third party, PDF Creator. Link will be in the show notes, and it just works flawlessly as they try to generate the reports. Instead of printing to a printer, they're printing to a PDF. They have a naming convention set up, and they're saving all the information. Once they got all their information out, and it's going to take a little time, now they can get away from that extreme monthly price of having that software just available in case there's an audit or in case they have to look up something in the past. So that was a nice save. Another piece of software today that's been updated, for some reason it stopped working. I have a title insurance company that their documents, when they want to send the, when they want to give the PDFs to their customer, we want to secure them on a USB stick. I've been using with them a program called USB Safeguard. Really nice piece of software. And they update it to version 8. And we downloaded that today. And it's free up to encrypting a 4 gig USB sticks. This is perfect. They're only using like 2 gig sticks. It's so simple. You download this program. You put it on the USB stick. You run it. And it immediately asked you for a password. It's got to be at least 6 characters. So you make a password. And you want to make a password for that user. Maybe it's the last 4 digits of their social security number and some other number. You come up with a system. You save a password. And it will create a virtual encrypted drive as part of that USB stick. That's where you save the documents you want to protect. Then when you pull that disk out or eject it, if anybody plugs that in, they have to run that program, USB Safeguard, and they have to know that password in order to get to the encrypted files. It's simple. It's elegant. It works. If you need fast, simple encryption and you're under 4 gig, it's free. Even if you're not, the pro version that they have, I think, is like $19, so euros. So that's nothing. Now, I have not tried their hard drive Safeguard, but I'm thinking about it to see how that works as an alternative to BitLocker for hard drive encryption, especially for systems that don't have Windows 10 Pro. Or maybe they still have Windows 7. It's Windows 7 Pro. It's not Windows 7 Ultimate, so BitLocker's not included. Is this strong enough, good enough for hard drive protection? Again, very inexpensive. Want to put it out there, and it's just usbsafeguard.com. Link will be in the show notes. An interesting thing has come up today as I went live with Ustream. Since it's been sold to IBM, we've noticed that MIRC for the chat no longer works. The chat is limited, but it does work for the web client. This could be a sign that Ustream is no longer going to be free for me as an avenue to stream the show live. And we also want a decent chat channel. So I'm looking for those of you who know someone that is streaming. What service are they using? Let's hope the costs are minimal. And what are you using for chat room, for chat capability? I absolutely would like you to weigh in. Please email me, miketechshow@gmail.com, because this will be an issue. And we want to make sure we keep the broadcast going. It's got to be reasonable price, because if it's not, then it'll just be audio and I will send it out, you know, as an audio, and there'll be no longer a live show or interaction with the chat, which I hope that doesn't happen. Let's get to email. First email I received from GE Geek. And anybody that's registered for his software, you know it's an incredible set of every utility you would ever want. And he wanted to bring to our attention some bad news that happened to him. He has been involved in a serious motorcycle accident at a location called Mount Nebo in Australia. And he's broken his collarbone and first rib. He's due to be fully recovered within 8 weeks. We wish him all the best. Our prayers are with you and Jason, and we hope you get better and you heal quickly. But there'll be delays in the updates of GE Geek software, So we just want to send our good wishes and prayers and thoughts to Jason's recovery. He does a phenomenal job with his GE Geek Utilities. This is from Alice. Hello, Mike. Wanted to check out your site and saw your post about your broken foot. Yeah, man, that's not fun, and I can attest to that. Fractured my right foot during training at Fort Gordon, Georgia, almost 20 years ago, and that was not pleasant. Take it easy, buddy. Hang in there. Thank you. And he asked a question. I recently decided to return back to tech after a 20-year hiatus, and I'm currently working as a school custodian, which gives me plenty of listening time while I work. As you can imagine, it's given me an opportunity to listen to different available podcasts. And while there's plenty of them out there, I found yours to be the most enjoyable. I've already flown through your current dating back to November of last year. Could you please point me in the correct direction on how to access your older podcasts? The easiest way is the wiki. Now, the wiki has not been updated for a long time. I've had nobody to pick up the mantle and carry that since Barbara has been away, moved away, and just does not have the time and availability to be able to update the wiki. It still works, and you can get to a lot of the old shows. I will post a link to the Mike Tech Show wiki. Follow the links to the older shows, and you will be able to get them. I'll also put a link for Tech Vets, because that's another show you should listen to, some of the older shows. But I noticed I've been having some website trouble there and getting to the older shows. You can get to some, but you can't get to all of them. Carrie and I are aware of that, and Carrie is working on trying to fix that. That's just another place, and that's tech-vets.com. This is from Bob. He has more Windows 10 update issues. The last Windows 10 update removed the home group from one of my network computers. He goes on to talk about his networking problems. His solution, which was strange, was he went to the network adapter, removed IPv6 from the NIC, rebooted, added it back, and it worked. And he's not sure why that worked. I'm not sure either. But this is a common problem with Windows 10 updates. And in Windows 10, you need to navigate to the settings and then go to network and internet, click your Ethernet connection if that's how you're connected, and then take a look at changing the adapter options, changing the advanced sharing options. You also need to look at the status and change connection properties. This is where you can go from public to private. And I noticed a lot of Windows 10 updates, and I mentioned this in a past show, they change that to public, and public, everything's locked down. So if your system's a desktop and you're not taking it out of the house, change your settings to the proper permissions, make your network private, not public, and your shares will start working again. An interesting tip from Bob, unchecking IPv version 6, then rebooting, and then rechecking it. So I wanted to share that. This is from Joe. Been a listener for the last couple of years. I love this the show. Thanks for the work you do to make this show happen. I am in the process of evaluating an automated transcript service, Trint, which you can upload an audio or video file and have it transcribed into text. While I plan on using it for fairly simple stuff, but since your podcasts are downloadable MP3 files, I thought, what the heck? Let me send one of these up for transcribing to test the service. While it's not perfect, it was able to capture a good portion of your recording to workable text. I then used their editor to clean up things up a bit as I was listening to the show to produce a workable transcript of the show. I am definitely not a professional transcriptionist. I know you have mentioned in the past the desire to get your shows transcribed. Just thought I'd throw this out there as a cheap way to do this and send you my final product for the show since I completed it. Best wishes, Joe. Joe, that was awesome. He sent me a great transcription of my show from April 26th. And I really appreciate that. And it did work. So I'm going to have a link to Trent and you should look at that. I'm not going to invest in doing that yet. It's not something that has really been asked of me. Wow, having transcriptions and then having it indexed properly for searching, it's a great idea. I don't have the time to go through that and actually do that for the podcast. If someone wanted to take that on, I would find some way to compensate you that you would like. If you wanted to take a look at that service and actually do that, that would be great. But right now, I just don't have the bandwidth for being able to go back and run that and get all the transcriptions and then get them all hosted up and indexed. Boy, that's a great dream. It's out there as a service if you need it, and it's called Trent. And Joe, thank you for your sample of what you've done in testing this. And it's great to let everybody know that this kind of service is available if you need it. This is from Bill, continuing with his DNS issues. He's sorry to hear about my foot. Hope you recover quickly. I checked the forwarding and they both point to Google as the ISP. Just an update. Essentials has all administrative tools, just that setup is with a wizard, which is no longer available. And the problem is I have no experience, although I have done training. Just as an aside, I was able to join a client machine to a domain and I set DNS for server, the IP address. So that tells me something is working at present. Everyone can log in, although I'm concerned to restart the server. Bill, I still don't have an answer for you, but there must be a way that we need to clean the DNS setup because that's what's going wrong. And you're right. If you make the IP address the primary of a workstation, then that should help you getting registered in Active Directory. But if you left that alone, I'm sure you couldn't get to the internet. So the secondary IP address has to be the 8.8.8.8, and then you can get out. So not sure exactly what's going on. I would reboot the server. Make sure you have a good system image backup of the server. Whatever it takes, whatever software you need to get a good system image. Do a good cold reboot of the server. Then try to go back and put the same IP address back in as the primary IP address for the NIC card. Is it possible you have multiple NICs and something going on where maybe they're not being used? If I have a server or a system that has multiple NICs and I'm only using one NIC, I go in and I disable the other NIC. So this way, it's not going to try to pull an IP and it's not going to interfere with anything. See if these things help. You might have already done it, but you've got to be able to reboot the server. There's going to be updates. So you must get past the fear of rebooting. And if you're that concerned, just make sure you got a full system image of the server, especially all the data. This is from Andrew, and he's having a trouble with the HP TPM, and it was after the April update of Windows 10. I have been seeing the following problems, and I don't know if this is going to fix, but it has worked for me for a client. I want you to roll back, because you only get like 30 days, roll back to the last version of Windows 10 and make sure the TPM works. Then I want you to follow the instructions of a link that I posted a few weeks ago. I'm going to post it again, which is how to stop the Windows 10 driver updates. Now, you can still get the regular updates, but you're not going to get the driver updates. Then let's see if the April update works and it preserves the TPM, because it sounds like there's a driver issue going on that's being updated here that's preventing this. And I've seen this with multiple different driver updates that's happening that is killing, I would say, maybe 50 computers that I've ran into. So we're not just talking a couple. This is a big problem. And I've been talking about it for a long time with Windows 10. You need to have the process to go into the group policy editor and stop driver updates. But you got to get back to that other version. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that this is going to work, but at least it's something safe for you to try. Go back, make sure you're running, and quickly, I would pause updates first. So anytime I go back, if I'm Windows 10 Pro, I quickly go in and I pause Windows updates so they're not going to happen. Then I edit the group policy editor. Then I go turn the updates back on and then continue along the way. And then see if that fixes things where you've suppressed the driver update. Now, I had to install a USB 4.0 Bluetooth adapter on my system, and I have driver updates turned off so it wouldn't update the driver. So I ran the CD that came with it, and I pointed to the driver on the CD, and it did work. So any future driver updates, you're going to have to manually point to the driver. You're going to have to download it, and you're going to have to manually point. It's not going to be automatic through Windows updates anymore because we've stopped that, because that's what's killing us here. Then I would do a restore point if you want to ever turn back on driver updates. So you have a restore point to go back to after the updates in case there's a problem. And then you got to make sure that you're armed with that process. Andrew, let me know if that helps. The final section for the show tonight is from Dexter, who, hope you're mending well. I love your show and the music. I am attaching one of our most recent newsletters. Some of the articles were inspired by your show. Thanks for the inspiration and ideas. You can reuse content on the show and your business if it helps. You have helped me, so I want to help in return. I have emailed Dexter. He has given me permission to post the PDF that I'm going to review right now so you can look at this. I think it's a great example of a tech PDF newsletter that you may want to use for subscribers if you're doing a podcast or content, or customers. This is a great idea, and he does a really good job. It's titled The ProNet Newsletter, and this is April 2018. And the first thing he has is a red alert for QuickTime. ProNet and government security specialists recommend the removal of QuickTime from all PCs. So he has a quick alert on the front after he has, you know, this is the newsletter, who it's by, and it's Dexter, the computer guy. Let's go in there, and his first article is SOS backups, and he talks about that, file and folder backups, giving some really good information. Now, for me, it's interesting. I don't know if I want to arm my clients with this much detail, but it is a great idea to get this kind of information included, or at least an example of putting a newsletter together with some tips and tricks and some things that, you know, you may want to bait it to help sell some things for work. Maybe talking about how important a solid state drive is. So this way they may call in, and it's a way to attract and get some more business. He has the computer guy's backup rules. Get a backup solution, backup often, monitor and test your backup, and have an offsite backup if possible. Sounds like the mantra you hear here. A list of products that they offer for cloud options, and he's got Veritas and StorageCraft and Acronis. Seniors in the internet, little section. Business PC slow, and he's got some recommendations. Some shortcut tips. Wi-Fi, what you need to know. nice little section there. And then he also has, you know, if you're interested in some things, give him a call. Because you want to drive, you should put your phone number there again, Dexter. Just another piece of information in case these pages get separated. I would put a tagline, a footer at the bottom of every page that has your company name and your company phone number with a page number. So just a recommendation. And then he has news and other offerings. He has great graphics that goes along with this. And then closes with till the next newsletter, happy and safe computing, with all of his contact information. This is a good example of what you can do with a newsletter. And Dexter, I know I blew through this very quickly. The link will be in the show notes for you to easily download this PDF and take a look at it. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being such a longtime listener. I really appreciate it. One final thing, and this was also an email from Dexter. He says, I have FABS version 6. Is there any upgrade discount? So I emailed Fabrice and asked him, and he said, absolutely. So not only will I have a link to FABS Auto Backup 7 Pro in the show notes tonight, I'm going to put Fabrice's email, which you could get going to his site. If you own 6 and you want to upgrade, email him and he will upgrade. And don't forget to tell him you heard that on the Mike Tech Show. Absolutely email him. He will respond. Fabrice is a great guy, great software, responds quickly. You can't ask for any more than that from a software vendor. I really love it. I love the software. As a matter of fact, I have another upgrade scheduled that I'm going to do remotely on Monday afternoon. I have a client that just bought a new laptop, and he's like, Mike, you know what? Your broken foot, you're not going to be able to come out. I said, you don't worry. I said, you have both laptops set up. I'll remote into both with instant house call. I'll push FABS Auto Backup 7 Pro on the one system. I will run it, transfer everything, then get it transferred to the new laptop. We're set. So I'm going to do a full transfer remotely, and that's thanks to Instant House Call and FABS Auto Backup. And then I'll use the Malwarebytes tool set to clean up everything. Great combination of the products and services that I use for my business on a daily basis. Don't forget to help support the show. There's an Amazon link in the show notes that supports Carrie Holzman and myself for the Mike Tech Show and Tech Vets. It's a little less convenient to use. You click on this link and it brings you to a generic page on Amazon, but anything you buy after that in that session only will yield a percentage back to us for support. Your price stays the same, but it really helps support the shows. And Carrie and I thank you very, very much. That's it. See you back here same time, same channel. Let's hope the IRC and the streaming is still available. That's it. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.